And once again, I'm joined by show favorite, Mickey Falk, the mercenary geologist. Thanks for joining us, Mickey.
Thanks, Matt.
What are you sort of seeing in mining markets these days? Is it slowing down?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at Venture Exchange. Now, we've been up here in the Yukon for a couple of days and haven't really followed what's going on that much. But as of yesterday morning, the Venture Exchange Index, which is my proxy for the sector, had hit year-to-date lows like 4 or 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
And on very low volumes, there is just nothing going on in the market that's piquing people's interest at this point. And that, too, is not unusual. It's the approaching the heart of the summer doldrum season. But that said, we went from sell in May and go away directly in the summer doldrums, and that's pretty unusual.
Yeah, you don't see that really. And I mean, based on what we've talked about up to this point, how sort of are you approaching markets now?
Well, I've done the same thing I've been doing for the last year or so, and that's startup deals, because I'm still under the impression that we are at the beginnings of a bull market for commodities. But this time, I think it's going to be driven perhaps not so much by gold, but the base metals. You know, the industrial metals have looked pretty strong over the last 2 or 3 weeks. You know, it's almost like the hedge funds moved in about a year ago, end of Q1 2016.
Yep.
They all moved in mass. Started with gold at that point, but all those zinc was up 60% or something last year.
That's right.
And it looks to me like they all moved out in mass about in February of this year.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to move back in a bit, and I think that's reflected by what you see in zinc and copper. Copper, although it's not at a very good price, but it's bounced off that 250 level, and it's pushing to upper 260s again. It's still got a ways to go, but look at zinc, Matt.
Yeah.
Zinc's back to $1.27 yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm probably looking more at those sorts of plays. Although I have, I've got some interest to be here in Yukon. I'm looking at three projects that I didn't see on the tour last year. We kind of got a secondary tour for people that are repeaters.
One of them being a zinc project, funny enough.
Yeah, Fireweed Zinc, which is up in, it's the old Millen Pass area.
And, are you familiar with the
area? I'm not familiar with the area. I certainly know of its history, but this will be my first time up there. You know, it does have, for the Yukon, it's got some semblance of infrastructure, i.e. a highway close. So from that point of view, it's a leg up. But, you know, there's some pretty good zinc assets up there. Whether they are economic under their current size and grade, I haven't really looked at it close enough.
Yeah, I hear it's a SEDEX thing.
It is a SEDEX thing. Yeah. I know that for sure. So those things can be giant, and they can be high grade. Probably if that was anywhere else in the world, it'd already be a mine. You got to realize we're in the Yukon, very harsh climate, infrastructure difficulties for the most part. You know, fuel's expensive.
Concentrate shipping.
Exactly. So there's some difficulties there.
Yeah, I'll be taking a look at that deal a bit more closely as well as we move forward here. One of the things I want to look at is the metallurgy, actually. I haven't had a chance to really dig into that. So, yeah, we'll be checking out Fireweed Zinc. So visit maybe the mercenary geologist, and he may have something to say about that one.
Yeah, we'll come out. You know, I'm going to three different companies. I'll come out here, certainly, I would hope, within the next month or so. Kind of a field trip, exam, excursion sort of thing. Probably not going to talk too much about the companies themselves in terms of their merits, because I don't own any of the companies I'm going to see. But
that's right.
But it'll give me a good idea of what's going on in Yukon.
And speaking of which, another company that you'd mentioned to me off recorder was K2 Gold. And I just saw their revealed logo, and it's basically the Kaminak logo. So we're calling it Kaminak 2. Maybe you want to fill us in a little bit on what you know about
K2. Well, it's kind of curious, because the chairman of the board is the ex-chairman of the board of Kaminak, and that's John Robbins. And John's got a good track record. He runs a group out of Vancouver with several companies called the Discovery Group. And one of those companies is Fireweed Zinc, and another one is K2 Gold, of which I chose to become a seed stock shareholder of that company. They put Steve Swatton in as the CEO. I know Steve from his previous incarnations at Brazil Resources, Inc., and also he was an analyst with Yorkton, if memory serves.
Actually, funny enough, I just sat down with Steve, and he has an exceptionally long resume. I asked him what his background was, and Rio, BHP, he's worked with Lucas Lundin, and now he's in charge of K2 Gold, so I had a good chat with him. It sounds interesting. It's sort of an intrusive related model they're using. They sort of mentioned Dublin Gulch as an analog. So,
And I haven't been there, but I've read enough about it, and I know the people. Yeah. So it's a startup company, so it's a tight share structure, or it's RTO from another company. Yeah. Right people, and it's got an interesting project from what I can see. They bought it from a couple of prospectors. It's in a part of the Yukon. It's never really been looked at as prospective or explored for these kind of tombstone granite sort of intrusive related deposits. And they're drilling now underneath some trenches where there were soil anomalies and trench anomalies. And so you would expect good drill results to come out of that.
Yeah, and this is their Wells project, just so you get the name out there. The thing, it was under a private company called Gorilla Minerals, actually, prior to John picking it up, which is it's notable. I saw some of the historic results, and they were definitely pique your interest.
Will. So we're hopeful they're drilling now, and my cost base is considerably less than it trades at. It doesn't trade a lot of shares, but that's the ballpark I tend to work in right now. We're still saddled with lots of, for lack of a better word, legacy companies with lots of shares or rollbacks waiting to happen. So my sweet spot over the last year or so is really go into startups on kind of new stories, new deals, can be recycled projects, but certainly the companies are tightly held with the right people. Yeah. And if the property is a merit, those are things that attract me.
Have you seen a pickup in those types of deals?
A lot, yeah. There's, we probably sat here a year ago, and I would likely have said, I don't really see anything that I'm that interested in. And so over the last year, let's say that people in the business, people in the know, see a bull market coming, they're getting active again with startup companies, and so I've seen a lot more of that. I probably participate. Off the top of my head, I must have put money, startup capital, seed capital, founders capital into half a dozen deals this year.
Wow. So definitely picking up. We'll see if that momentum starts to sort of pick up again once we, as you said, get out of these summer doldrums. We're certainly in a little bit of a lull period now, but we're all hopeful when September, like you said, Labor Day rolls around and everyone gets back to work, that we'll resume our momentum.
One point I would like to make, I think that the oil price is weighing on all commodities markets right now. So, you generally look at three commodities as indicators of our business, and that would be oil and copper and gold. And with the exception of copper, which is basically treading water right now, the other two commodities are down. That may just be a summertime phenomena. With oil, it's basically because U.S. shale producers are too good at what they do at this point. But, it becomes at some point a matter of who's stronger, U.S. shale producers or OPEC. And I'm going to wave my American flag and say I think the winners here will be U.S. shale. And once that happens and we get, and the oil price is at the point right now, it's not going to encourage more oil production. But the minute it sticks above $50, which it's been most of the year, here go the drillers again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been Matthew Keevil. We are here in Dawson City for the annual Yukon Investment Conference, and we have been joined by Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Mickey, why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
Yeah, mercenarygeologist.com, free subscription service. You get all my stock picks and all my interviews. This will be up on the website. And at Mercenary Geo, we're now at 63,000 Twitter followers and quite active in that venue.
Perfect. Well, Mickey, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
And welcome back to studio. Thanks again to the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp, for dropping by to talk commodities. Mickey actually pitched me on another great show idea that we're probably going to be looking into, and that has to do with socio-political risk and geopolitical conflict. Obviously, we've talked a lot recently about Acacia Mining and what's going on in Tanzania. They were just delivered one of the most astounding back tax bills ever in the hundreds of billions of dollar range. We've heard a little bit of buzz around the industry about what's going on in Tanzania, whether anyone has been put in jail or detained in any way. So it'll be interesting. We're following that story along. There'll probably be some follow-up editorial coming up on that. But if you're interested, do surf over to northernminer.com. I've covered that in-depthly on the website, so there is coverage on that there. But hopefully one day we will put that show together with Mickey, maybe some other guests, on that rising geopolitical risk and what it sort of looks like and means for the North American mining industry.